Chapter 10, Cell Cycle and Cell Division. Are you aware that all organisms, even the largest, start their life form as a single cell? You may wonder how a single cell then goes on to form such large organisms. Growth and reproduction are characteristics of cells, indeed of all living organisms. All cells reproduce by dividing into two, with each parental cell giving rise to two daughter cells each time they divide. These newly formed daughter cells can themselves grow and divide, giving rise to a new cell population that is formed by the growth and division of a single parental cell and its progeny. In other words, such cycles of growth and division allow a single cell to form a structure consisting of millions of cells. Cell cycle. Cell division is a very important process in all living organisms. During the division of a cell, DNA replication and cell growth also take place. So DNA replication and cell growth. All these processes, that is cell division, DNA replication and cell growth, hence have to take place in a coordinated way to ensure correct division and formation of progeny cells containing intact genomes. So which processes? Cell division, DNA replication and cell growth should take place in a coordinated manner. The sequence of events by which a cell duplicates its genome, synthesizes the other constituents of the cell, and eventually divides into two daughter cells is termed as cell division or cell cycle. So, cell cycle has the parts. Cell duplicates its genome, synthesizes the other constituents of the cell, and eventually divides into two daughter cells. All of this is together called cell cycle. Although cell growth in terms of cytoplasmic increase is a continuous process, DNA synthesis occurs only during one specific stage in the cell cycle. So cell growth occurs, cell growth meaning cytoplasmic increase. It occurs continuously, like it's on. But DNA synthesis occurs only during one specific stage of the cell cycle. Okay? The replicated chromosomes, that is the DNA, are then distributed to daughter nuclei by a complex series of events during cell division. These events are themselves under genetic control. So there are various events that help the replicated chromosomes, that is the DNA, to be distributed among the daughter cells. Okay, and it includes a complex series of events during the cell division, and the events are themselves under genetic control. The tissue. A tissue can be labile, it can be stable, or it can be permanent. Now, labile means continuously dividing, like the skin, the gastrointestinal tract, the bone marrow and stuff. Stable is it divides sometimes, okay, like the liver, the kidney and the pancreas. And it can be permanent, which is it doesn't divide, okay, like the neuron and the muscle cells. Okay, so the ones that are stable are the skin, the gastrointestinal tract and the bone marrow. Then the ones that are stable, right, that divide sometimes are liver, kidney and pancreas. And permanent ones are neurons and muscle cells. Okay, now how is the chromatin material converted into the chromosomes? Is there are strands of DNA, okay, that come together into DNA on histone. Okay, the round structure with the side or the histone proteins and stuff, and then they are in beads on string structure, which is known as the chromatin, which then condenses to form a compact chromosome. Okay, now the compact chromosome formed is a single chromosome with with two hands, and then by replication it divides into those four hands, that four hand structure. Okay, and remember that the number of centromeres equals to the number of chromosomes. Now the reason for cell division to take place is to maintain Kern-Plasnik ratio, surface volume ratio, that is volume of nucleus upon volume of cytoplasm ratio, or also known as the nucleocytoplasmic ratio. So this volume remains the same, just the area increases. Phases of cell cycle. A typical eukaryotic cell cycle is illustrated by a human cell in culture. These cells divide once in approximately every 24 hours. However, this duration of cell cycle can vary from organism to organism and also from cell type to cell type. Yeast, for example, can progress to the cell cycle in only about 90 minutes. The cell cycle is divided into two basic phases, the interphase and the M phase, or the mitosis phase. So the interphase is the one in which all the preparation takes place, and the M phase is when the actual division takes place. The M phase represents the phase when the actual cell division or mitosis occurs, and the interphase represents the phase between two successive M phases. It is significant to note that in 24-hour average duration of cell cycle of a human cell, cell division proper lasts for only about an hour. So the rest of the time, that is the 23 hours, is for the interphase, and the cell division takes place for 1 hour. Okay? The interphase lasts more than 95% of the duration of the cell cycle. The M phase starts with the nuclear division, corresponding to the separation of daughter chromosomes, that is karyokinesis. So the nuclear division, which means separation of the daughter chromosomes, is karyokinesis, and it ends with the division of the cytoplasm, which is known as cytokinesis. The interphase, though called the resting phase, so the interphase is called the resting phase. Will you remember that? Interphase and resting phase. It is a time during which the cell is preparing for division by undergoing both cell growth and DNA replication. So the cell grows and DNA replication takes place in an orderly manner. The interphase is divided into three further stages. Okay, now coming to the phases. The phases are G1 phase or the gap 1 phase, the synthesis phase or the S phase, and the gap 2 phase or the G2 phase. G1 phase corresponds to the interval between mitosis and initiation of DNA replication. That means that after mitosis, there is a point G1, and then comes the initiation of DNA replication, okay, which is the S phase. During G1 phase, the cell is metabolically active and continuously grows but does not replicate its DNA. Okay, so it is active, continuously grows, does not replicate DNA. S, or the synthesis phase, marks the period during which DNA synthesis or replication takes place. During this time, the amount of DNA per cell doubles. So the DNA doubles, okay? Do you get it? Double the amount of DNA material, okay? Done. If the initial amount of DNA is denoted as 2C, then it is increased to 4C. However, there is no increase in the chromosome number. Okay, so remember that chromosome, that single chromosome with two hands, it gets four hands, so the DNA replication takes place, but the centromere is only one, so the chromosome number remains only one. Okay, so it's a single chromosome number but double the amount of DNA. Then, however, there is no increase in the chromosome number. If the cell had diploid or 2n number of chromosomes at G1, even after S phase, the number of chromosomes would remain the same, that is 2n. In animal cells, during S phase, DNA replication begins in the nucleus and the centriole replicates in the cytoplasm. Okay, so during the S phase, in animal cells only, okay, there is DNA replication in the nucleus, and there's centrosome or centriole duplication in the
cytoplasm. So if there are two centrioles, they become four centrioles. You know, right? One centrosome has two centrioles. So one centrosome becomes two centrosomes and two centrioles become four centrioles. During the G2 phase, proteins are synthesized in preparation for mitosis while cell continues to grow. Some cells in the adult animal do not appear to exhibit division. Example, heart cells. And many other cells divide only occasionally as needed to replace cells that have been lost because of injury or cell death. So this is the part that I had said earlier. Some cells in the adult animals, they do not appear to exhibit division, like the heart cells, and there's also neurons, and there are muscle cells, okay? No division, meaning permanent. And then there are cells that only occasionally undergo division, that is stable, meaning divide sometimes, like the liver, the kidney, the pancreas, all that, okay? And there are other types of cells that are labile, meaning they continuously divide, like the skin, the GIT, and the bone marrow, okay? These cells that do not divide further exit the G1 phase to enter an inactive stage called the quiescent stage, okay? So what I said, the resting phase is the interphase, and the quiescent stage is the inactive stage, okay, of the cell, when there is suspension of the cell cycle. Cells in this stage remain metabolically active but no longer proliferate, okay, no division, unless called on to do so depending on the requirement of the organism. So from G1 they go to G0, and if called back, like called on to do so, depending on the requirement of the organism, they get back to the G1 phase and then continue by S, then G2 that way. In animals, mitotic division is only seen in diploid somatic cells because there's the same number of what? If there's 2N, then it remains 2N only. So therefore, in animals, mitotic division is only seen in diploid somatic cells. However, there are few exceptions to this where haploid cells divide by mitosis. Okay, haploid cells dividing by mitosis is, for example, male honeybee. Like it gets the N amount of chromosome, but it still divides and turns into a male honeybee. That is the drones. Okay, against this, the plants can show mitotic divisions in both haploid and diploid cells. From your collection of examples of alternation of generation in plants, chapter 3, identify plant species and stages at which mitosis is seen in haploid cells. So I gotta check that out later. So what we learned is, in animals there's only diploid somatic cells, they undergo mitosis, and also male honeybees. And against this, plants, both haploid as well as diploid cell undergo mitosis. So a quick revision of the interphase. G1 phase, it is metabolically active. It continuously grows. What cell continuously grows? That is, it increases in size. There is no DNA replication taking place. Protein synthesis takes place in G1 and G2 phase, okay? So it has protein synthesis, and most cell organelles, they replicate. Now we come to the S phase. S phase is DNA synthesis or replication. That is, DNA amount converts into twice. Chromosome number remains the same. Then we come to G2 phase. But before that, in animal cell, there is centrosome replication, and in the cytoplasm, and the DNA replication in the nucleus. In which stage? S stage. S phase, okay? And G2 phase, of course, there's protein synthesis. As I said, in G1 and G2, there's protein synthesis. And there's cell growth that continues. And lastly, the mitochondria and the chloroplasts that are semi-autonomous, they replicate. Okay, in G1 and G2, the common things are protein synthesis. and cell growth continues, okay, like the increase in cell size. And lastly, replication of cell organelles. Like in G1, most of the cell organelles replicate, and in G2 there is mitochondria and chloroplasts that replicate.
The end phase. This is the most dramatic period of the cell cycle, involving a major reorganization of virtually all components of the cell. Since the number of chromosomes in the parent and progeny cells is the same, it is also called as equational division. Okay, so it's the most dramatic period. There's reorganization of all components of the cell, and it's also known as equational division. Though for convenience, mitosis has been divided into four stages of nuclear division or karyokinesis, it is very essential to understand that the cell division is a progressive process and very clear-cut lines cannot be drawn between various stages. Karyokinesis involves following four stages: prophase, metaphase, anaphase, and telophase. It's remembered by P and mate. Also, another thing to notice is an onion root tip cell has 16 chromosomes in each cell. The prophase. Prophase, which is the first stage of karyokinesis of mitosis, follows the S and G2 phases of interphase. In the S and G2 phases, the new DNA molecules formed are not distinct but intertwined. The prophase is marked by the initiation of condensation of chromosomal material. So, initiation of condensation of chromosomal material. The chromosomal material becomes untangled. Okay, condensation is untangling during the process of chromatin condensation. Chromatin condensation is the process name. The centrosome, which had undergone duplication during S phase of the interphase, now begins to move towards the opposite poles of the cell cycle. The completion of prophase can thus be marked by the following characteristic events. Okay, so we can summarize it in two events, that is, chromosomal material condenses to form compact mitotic chromosomes. Chromosomes are seen to be composed of two chromatids attached together at the centromere. The chromatin is one that long thing, and there are two, meaning DNA replication has taken place. Okay, but the centromere is only one, so that's just one chromosome with two chromatids, okay, that are attached together at the centrosome. Sorry, not the centrosome, at the centromere. Centrosome, which had undergone duplication during interphase, begins to move towards opposite poles of the cell. Each centrosome radiates out microtubules called asters. Aster rays, that are microtubules. Okay. The two asters together with spindle fibers form mitotic apparatus. So finally, the two points are chromosomal material. It condenses to form two chromatids attached at the centromere. And secondly, centrosome, it moves to the opposite poles and it radiates out microtubules called asters or the astral rays, and the mitotic apparatus includes astral rays plus the spindle fibers. Okay, so the chromatin material condensation takes place in the early prophase and centromeres move to the opposite pole in the late prophase. Cells at the end of prophase, when viewed under the microscope, do not show Golgi apparatus or the Golgi complex, endoplasmic reticulum, nucleolus, and nuclear envelope. Now, this is also in the late prophase. Golgi complex, I repeat, Golgi complex, endoplasmic reticulum, nucleolus, meaning the part in the center of the nucleus, okay, and the nuclear envelope also. Metaphase. The complete disintegration of the nuclear envelope marks the start of the second phase of mitosis. Hence, the chromosomes are spread through the cytoplasm of the cell. By this stage, condensation of chromosomes is completed and they can be observed clearly under the microscope. So main thing is disintegration of nuclear envelope marks the start of the second phase, that is metaphase. Now what is disintegration of nuclear? It is complete condensation, okay? And that is seen in the early metaphase. By this stage, condensation of chromosomes is completed and they can be observed clearly under the microscope. This then is the stage at which morphology of chromosomes is most easily studied. Okay, morphology. At this stage, metaphase chromosome is made up of two sister chromatids, okay, as I had said, which are held together by the centromere. Small disc-shaped structures at the surface of the centromeres are called kinetochores. These structures serve as a site of attachment of spindle fibers. Okay, now the spindle fibers, they are formed by the what? They're formed by the spindle fibers. That's what's given. Okay, maybe the kinetochores are formed by the spindle fibers because it's given like these structures, they serve as a site of attachment of spindle fibers. And in bracket, they're formed by the spindle fibers to the chromosomes that are moved into position at the center of the cell. Okay, so the spindle fibers, they attach to the kinetochores, making the chromosomes move into position at the center of the cell. Hence, the metaphase is characterized by all the chromosomes coming to lie at the equator, with one chromatid of each chromosome connected by its kinetochore to spindle fibers from one pole and its sister chromatids connected by its kinetochores to the spindle fiber from the opposite pole. Okay, so one of the chromatid of each chromosome, meaning one that long thing, okay, top and bottom, that is connected to one of the pole via the spindle fibers and its sister chromatid, meaning the other one, other chromatid, okay, is connected by the kinetochore of this to the spindle fiber and to the opposite pole. I mean, the kinetochore is connected to the spindle fiber, which is connected to the opposite pole. Okay, the plane of the alignment of the chromosome at the metaphase is referred to as metaphasic plate or the metaphase plate. So now we'll summarize the two main points, that is spindle fibers, they attach to the kinetochores of the chromosome first. So they are like two kinetochores for each pole to attach to the chromatids. Chromosomes are moved to spindle equator and they get aligned along metaphase plate through spindle fibers to both poles. Okay, so first thing first, complete disintegration of the nuclear envelope and clear morphology is observed. Then there's two sister chromatids clearly visible. Then there's like all that now is in the early prophase, okay, like all those morphology and nuclear envelope disappearing and all that. And then later what happens is spindle fibers, they attach the kinetochores, okay, which attach to the chromatids, like two different poles, two separate chromatids. And the chromosomes are moved to the spindle equator in a line like order. Yeah, they are aligned along the metaphase plate through the spindle fibers to both poles. The anaphase. At the onset of anaphase, each chromosome arranged at the metaphase plate is split simultaneously, and the two daughter chromatids, now referred to as daughter chromosomes of the future daughter nuclei, begin their migration towards the two opposite poles. As each chromosome moves away from the equatorial plate, the centromere of each chromosome remains directed towards the pole, and hence at the leading edge, with the arms of the chromosome training behind. Thus, anaphase stage is characterized by the following key events. Okay, before going to the key events, let's revise again. At the onset of anaphase, each chromosome that is arranged at the metaphase plate, it splits. Okay, at the onset, it splits simultaneously. All of them, they split simultaneously. And now the two daughter chromatids, they are referred to as daughter chromosomes of the future daughter nuclei. They begin their migration towards the opposite pole. Okay, they are on their way. As each chromosome moves away from the equatorial plate, the centromere of each chromosome remains directed towards the pole, okay? It's like a V shape, but in the opposite direction. And hence at the leading edge, okay? Centromere is at the leading edge, with the arms at the trailing edge. That is, they trail behind, okay? Now the key events, that is the centromere split simultaneously, first thing, and the chromatids, they separate, okay? Now at this stage, they are like double the amount of chromosomes, I can say, like, so if they were like 46, then they are 92, okay? 92 chromosomes at this stage. Then chromatids, they move to the opposite poles. Okay, just to revise that, at the interphase, there's a point wherein the DNA, like, it duplicates, and at that point, in the S stage, okay, in the S stage, centriole duplication takes place. So at that point, like, the centrosome is double and centrioles are also double, meaning the centrosomes are 2 and centrioles are 4, okay? Now, second step is the chromatids, they move to the opposite poles. So two key events are centromere split and chromatids separate, and the chromatids, they move to the opposite pole. Done. Telophase, that is reverse prophase, okay? At the beginning of the final stage of karyokinesis, that is the last stage of karyokinesis, that is telophase, the chromosomes that have reached their respective poles, they decondense, okay? In the anaphase, they reach their respective poles, separate, and now in the telophase, they decondense and they lose their individuality, okay? The individual chromosomes can no longer be seen, and each set of chromatin material tends to collect at each of the two poles. Okay, so they decondense, they lose their individuality, and they can no longer be seen, and each set of chromatin material, it collects at the two poles. This is the stage which shows the following key events. So chromosome cluster at the opposite spindle poles, that is chromosomes, they decondense at the opposite spindle pole, and their identity is lost as discrete elements. Second step is a nuclear envelope. It develops around the chromosome cluster, that is the two chromatin materials that are formed, so the chromosome cluster, at each pole forming two daughter nuclei, okay? Telophase, nuclei is formed, daughter nuclei is formed. Okay, now then what happens is the nucleolus, meaning the central thing, nucleolus, the Golgi apparatus and endoplasmic reticulum, it reforms. So three steps are decondensation of chromosomes at the two opposite spindles, then nuclear envelope is formed around it, and then nucleolus, Golgi apparatus, endoplasmic reticulum, done. Cytokinesis, mitosis accomplishes not only the segregation of duplicated chromosomes into daughter nuclei, that is karyokinesis. So segregation of duplicated chromosomes into daughter nuclei is called karyokinesis, that is formation of two different nuclei. But the cell itself is divided into two daughter cells by the separation of cytoplasm. Okay, now cytoplasm also separates, and that is called cytokinesis, at the end of which cell divisions get complete. Okay, so first is karyokinesis, wherein the nuclei gets assembled, like two different nuclei, that is two daughter nuclei get formed, and then the new two daughter nuclei, they separate, that is by splitting of the cytoplasm in equal proportions, and that is known as cytokinesis. Okay, that's easy peasy lemon squeezy. In an animal cell, this is achieved by the appearance of a furrow in the plasma membrane. Okay, in the animal cell, there is no cell wall, so it's easy to get through the sides. That's why it forms furrows in the plasma membrane. The furrow, it gradually deepens and ultimately joins in the center, dividing the cell cytoplasm into two. Okay, so that's the cytoplasm divides into two. And in plant cells, they are enclosed by a relatively inextensible cell wall. Therefore, they undergo cytokinesis by a different mechanism. In plant cells, wall formation starts in the center of the cell and grows outwards to meet the existing lateral walls. Okay, the formation of the new cell wall begins with the formation of a simple precursor called the cell plate that represents the middle lamella. Okay, now that's important. Cell plate represents the middle lamella between the walls of two adjacent cells. Okay, now plant cells, it gets from outside to the inside, meaning sentry petal, right? Remember the centrifugation process when the stuff from the inside is pushed towards the outside. Here it's the opposite, that is from the outside to the inside. So this is sentry petal, okay? And it's formed by the furrow formation. And in plants, due to the cell wall, cell division or cytokinesis takes place from the center and with the help of a cell plate, which represents the middle lamella between the walls of two adjacent cells. And now this, since it is from the center to the outside, it's called centrifugal process, okay? Now, at the time of cytoplasmic division, organelles like mitochondria and plastids get distributed between the two daughter cells. Now in the telophase, all the stuff is formed again, and here during cytoplasmic division or cytokinesis, the organelles like mitochondria, plastids, okay, now these are semi-autonomous, so they divide by, of course, binary fission. They get distributed between the two daughter cells. In some organisms, karyokinesis is not followed by cytokinesis, as a result of which multinucleate condition arises, leading to the formation of syncytium condition. Okay, so in some organisms, karyokinesis is not followed by cytokinesis and it leads to more than one nuclei or multinucleate condition, which forms a syncytium condition, that is liquid endosperm incognito, wherein free endo, what is it called? Free nuclear division goes on taking place and there's a number of nuclei. Okay? And also syncytium condition is also in skeletal muscles, okay? Or it's also called as skeletal muscles. They are known as voluntary, okay? Skeletal muscles, voluntary muscles. Now we come to, two sister chromatid, and sister chromatids, they form daughter chromosome. Now, direction is guided by the centromere, remember that. Okay, where is the need for direction guiding required? In the anaphase. Now, auxins, gibberellins, and cytokinins, they are mitogens, that is, they promote mitosis. And I'll repeat, auxin, gibberellin, and cytokinin. Okay, and mustard gas and colchicine, what does it do? It inhibits spindle assembly. It inhibits spindle assembly, mustard gas and colchicine, okay, and it acts as a mitotic poison, okay, gives multinucleate structure, remember that, gives multinucleate structure. And now, we remember that in animals, the division is astral, and in plants, the division is anastral, meaning in animals, there's centromere, plants don't have centromere, that's all it means. And now, remember the formula 2 raised to n, where n stands for the number of mitotic divisions, and what the answer, that is the answer of 2 raised to n, stands for the number of cells that are formed. Another thing to remember is G1 phase is the largest phase, and there are two checkpoints, meaning one is between G1 and the S phase, and the other one is between G2 and the M phase. So between a G and a phase, there's a checkpoint, okay? First is between G1 and S, and second is between G2 and M. Signif- significance of mitosis. Mitosis, or the equational division, is usually restricted to the diploid cells only. However, in some lower plants and in some social insects like bees, haploid cells also divide by mitosis. It is very essential to understand the significance of this division in the life of an organism. Okay, so haploid and diploid insects are bees, wherein the, what is it, the drone bees, that is the males, they are haploid, but they still divide by mitosis. Okay, mitosis usually results in production of diploid daughter cells with identical genetic complement. So they produce daughter cells that have identical genetic complement. The growth of multicellular organism is due to mitosis. So multicellular organism, they grow due to mitosis. Cell growth results in disturbing the ratio between the nucleus and the cytoplasm. It therefore becomes essential for the cell to divide to restore the nucleocytoplasmic ratio, or the kernplasmic ratio. A very significant contribution of mitosis is cell repair. The cells of the upper layer of the epidermis, cells of the lining of the gut and the blood cells, they are constantly being replaced. Mitotic division in the meristematic tissue, the apical and the lateral cambium, result in continuous growth of plants throughout the life. So basically it means the labile tissues that continuously divide, like the skin, the GIT and the bone marrow. Okay? Cells of the upper layer of the epidermis, that is the skin. Cells of the lining of the gut and blood cells, okay, they are being constantly replaced, and mitotic divisions in the meristematic tissue of plants, that is the apical and the lateral cambium, okay, the cambium, but that is apical and the lateral, it results in the continuous growth of plants throughout their life. So as you know, plants grow throughout their life. Meiosis. The production of offspring by sexual reproduction includes the fusion of two gametes, each with a complete haploid set of chromosomes. Gametes are formed from specialized diploid cells, and these diploid cells are known as meiocytes. This specialized kind of cell division that reduces the chromosome number by half results in production of haploid daughter cells. So the chromosome number is reduced to half. There the chromosome number in mitosis, the chromosome number would remain the same. This kind of division is called meiosis, or reductional division. Meiosis ensures the production of haploid phase in the life of sexual reproducing organism, whereas fertilization restores the diploid phase. We come across meiosis during gametogenesis in plants and animals. That is like oogonium or spermatogonium, it undergoes mitosis and gives primary oocyte or spermatocyte, and which further undergoes meiosis and gives eggs or sperm. See how gonium gives site, gives egg or sperm. Okay, that is primary one is 2N and the secondary one is N. So the points we learned are meiosis, it reduces the chromosome number by half and results in the production of haploid daughter cells. Okay, that's why it's known as reductional division. And it ensures the production of haploid phase in the life of sexually reproducing organisms, and fertilization restores the diploid phase. And we come across meiosis in gametogenesis. Now meiosis, it involves two sequential cycles of nuclear and cell division called meiosis 1 and meiosis 2, but only a single cycle of DNA replication. So DNA replication, that is doubling of the DNA content, it takes place only once, but the cell divisions, they take twice, on the two sequential cycles of nuclear and cell division, okay? Nuclear and cell division take place twice. Meiosis I is initiated after the parental chromosomes have replicated to produce identical sister chromatids at the S phase. So I shall read that again. Meiosis I is initiated after the parental chromosomes have replicated to produce identical sister chromatids at the S phase. Okay, so the parental chromosomes, they replicate at the S phase and they are like two chromatids formed, which are identical sister chromatids. Okay, and they are present at the S phase, and that's when meiosis I is initiated. Meiosis involves pairing of homologous chromosomes and recombination between non-sister chromatids of homologous chromosomes. So remember, pairing takes place between homologous chromosomes and recombination takes place between non-sister chromatids of homologous chromosomes. Four haploid cells are formed at the end of meiosis I. Meiotic events can be grouped under the following phases. So there's meiosis I and meiosis II, and each of them has prophase 1 and 2, then metaphase 1 and 2, anaphase 1 or 2, and telophase 1 or 2. Okay, then we come to meiosis I. Under it, prophase 1. Prophase of the first meiotic division is typically longer and more complex when compared to prophase of mitosis. It has been further subdivided into the following five phases based on chromosomal behavior: leptotene, zygotene, pachyten, diplotene, and diakinesis. During leptotene stage, the chromosomes become gradually visible under the light microscope. The compaction of chromosomes continues throughout leptotene. This is followed by the second stage of prophase 1 called zygotene. So summary of leptotene is, first thing, lepto is lepito. So chromosome, they become visual because they condense, okay? And yeah, they come together. Lepito is like, they form that structure, okay? And they compact, they get compact. So compaction of chromosomes, it continues throughout leptotene, and then we come to zygotene. During this stage, chromosomes start pairing together, and this process of association is called synapsis. Now the stage of association is called, not the stage, sorry, the process of association is called synapsis. Such paired chromosomes are called homologous chromosomes. Now the paired chromosomes are called homologous chromosomes. Electron micrographs of this stage, that is, electron micrographs of zygotene stage, indicate their chromosome synapses is accompanied, indicate that chromosome synapses is accompanied by the formation of a complex structure called synaptonemal complex. The complex formed by a pair of synapsed homologous chromosomes is called bivalent or a tetrad. So, what we learned is, the process of pairing of chromosomes is called synapsis, and the paired chromosomes that are formed are called homologous chromosomes, and it is associated with the formation of a complex structure called synaptonemal complex. Okay, and the synaptonemal complex is visible when an electron micrograph of the stage is done. Okay. Now the complex formed by a pair of synapsed chromosome, okay, one pair of synapsed chromosome, when it forms a complex, it is called bivalent or a tetrad. So the complex that is formed by a pair of synapsed homologous chromosome, it is called bivalent or a tetrad. However, these are more clearly visible at the next stage. Now that's what a bivalent is. After that, now the bivalent or a tetrad, or the entirely the homologous chromosomes, they are more clearly visible at the next stage, that is the pachyten stage. Okay, the first two stages of prophase 1 are relatively short-lived compared to the next stage, that is the pachyten. Now pachyten is the longest stage, okay, and it's the middle stage, that is the third stage. And how that is gonna be remembered is by saying patches. Oh, and also zygotene can be remembered by the way egg and sperm come together when during zygote formation. So pass-pass meaning the chromosomes will come together and they will form homologous pair of chromosomes, or what is it called? Yeah, homologous chromosomes. Okay, and zygotene is what? Chromosomes starts pairing together. Process of association is called as synapses, and paired chromosomes are known as homologous chromosomes. The formation of complex structure between them is known as synaptonemal complex. Complex formed by a pair of synapsed homologous chromosomes is known as bivalent or a tetrad, and now picatine or patches. Okay, that's how you're gonna remember picatine patches. During this stage, the four chromatids of each bivalent chromosomes. Okay, bivalent is a pair of homologous chromosomes. Okay, so that has four chromatids. It becomes distinct at this stage, and it is clearly visible as tetrads. Okay, tetrad chromatids and bivalent chromosomes. Remember, tetrad chromatid and bivalent chromosomes. This stage is characterized by the appearance of recombination nodules. Okay, so as I said, picatine patches, and the patches are recombination nodules. The sites at which crossing over occurs between non-homologous sister chromatids. Okay, sorry. Oh, that's a mistake. Okay, I'll take it back. Okay, now this stage, we'll do it again. Picatine is. The stage is characterized by the appearance of recombination nodules. First thing, recombination nodules. The site at which crossing over occurs between non-sister chromatids of the homologous chromosomes. Okay? Okay, so let's do it again. This stage, meaning the picatine, is characterized by the appearance of recombination nodules. The site at which crossing over occurs between non-sister chromatids of the homologous chromosomes. Okay, meaning the homologous pairs only, but like there are two chromosomes in the homologous pair, right? So the non-sister chromatids, meaning the ones that are not together, they form recombination nodules, or they undergo crossing over. Okay, crossing over is the exchange of genetic material between two homologous chromosomes. Crossing over is also an enzyme-mediated process, and the enzyme involved is called recombinase. Okay, crossing over leads to recombination of genetic material on the two chromosomes. Then recombination between non-homologous chromosomes is completed by the end of picatine. Sorry, recombination between homologous chromosomes, meaning recombination between non-sister chromatids of the homologous chromosomes, is completed by the end of picatine, leaving the chromosomes linked at the site of crossing over. So you got it? Picatine is the middle stage, it's the longest stage, and picatine is remembered by patches. Bivalent or tetrad is even more clearly visible than the zygotene stage. Now, the four chromatids, they become distinct and clearly appear as tetrads, okay, of each bivalent, meaning the four chromatids are known as tetrad chromatids, and bivalent is like two chromosomes, okay, so bivalent and tetrad is the same. Now, what occurs is crossing over, which is an enzyme-mediated process. Enzyme is recombinase. That takes place, and the site at which crossing over occurs between non-sister chromatids of the homologous chromosomes is called recombination nodule, okay, which leads to recombination of genetic material on the two chromosomes, okay, two chromosomes meaning two homologous chromosomes, and the ones that are undergoing crossing over are non-sister, meaning I already said it, like two chromosomes with two chromatids each, and the two chromosomes have non-sister chromatids that undergo crossing over. Okay, chromosomes are left linked at the site of crossing over even after picatine stage is completed. Okay, and as the cell enters the diploidine stage, they are still like linked at the site of crossing over. the beginning of diplotene. Diplotene, how you remember, is diplo. I don't have a way. Diplo, okay. No. Because next one is dia, which means directly two. That's when they divide. That's when they separate. And diplo is not like exactly two kind of. Dia is easily recognized as two. So yeah. So first is diplotene. The beginning of diplotene is recognized by the dissolution of the synaptonemal complex. Okay, the beginning of the diplotene stage is recognized by the dissolution of the synaptonemal complex, and the tendency of the recombined homologous chromosomes of the bivalent to separate from each other except at the site of crossing over. Okay, the beginning of diplotene is recognized by the dissolution of the synaptonemal complex, and the tendency of the recombined homologous chromosomes of the bivalent to separate from each other except at the site of crossing over. So they separate from every side except the site of crossing over. This X-shaped structure, that is the part where the crossing over had taken place, are called chiasmata. Okay, in oocytes of some vertebrates, diplotene can last for months or years. Done. Now let's revise. Diplotene, dissolution of synaptonemal complex takes place. That's what helps recognize that it's diplotene stage. Then the tendency of recombined homologous chromosomes of the bivalent to separate except at the site of crossing over. Then there are X-shaped structures called chiasmata formed. Then there is diplotene for months or years takes place in the oocytes of some vertebrates. Okay, oocytes of some vertebrates. The final stage of meiotic prophase 1 is diakinesis. Diakinesis is remembered by dia, which means two. This is marked by the terminalization of chiasmata, meaning the X-shaped structure. It ends, like it breaks separate. During this phase, the chromosomes are fully condensed. Fully condensed in the sense they are like completely like, think about like hardened structures, okay? They are fully condensed, and the meiotic spindle is assembled to prepare the homologous chromosomes for separation. So now that's something new. Meiotic spindle is assembled to prepare the homologous chromosomes for separation. Meiotic spindle is maybe like in meiosis one, there are like two metaphasic plates where the separation takes place. So meiotic spindle, that's where the homologous chromosomes are separated. Well, maybe. By the end of diakinesis, the nucleolus disappears. Nucleolus meaning the center of the nucleus, okay? It disappears, and the nuclear envelope also breaks, same as prophase 1 in the mitotic phase. Then diakinesis represents transition to metaphase. Remember that diakinesis, it's transition from prophase 1 to metaphase 1, okay? So short revision, diakinesis, dia meaning two, terminalization of chiasmata, first step, then chromosomes are fully condensed, then meiotic spindle is assembled to prepare the homologous chromosomes for separation, and end, nucleolus disappears, and nuclear envelope also breaks down. Also not to forget that interphase also takes place in meiosis, just like mitosis. And in G1 phase, there's protein synthesis, there's replication of cell organelles. In the S phase, there's DNA doubles, amount of DNA content doubles, and the chromosome number remains the same. That is, if there are 46 chromosomes, it remains 46 chromosomes. That is, if there are 2N, it remains 2N. And also, one centromere, one chromosome, remember that. Then there are chromatids with same centromere, are known as sister chromatids. And centrosome replicates, that is, it doubles, and replication of mitochondria and chloroplast takes place in S phase only. Okay, I shall start with the main point that in meiosis, there's no G2 phase present, there's just G1 and there's S phase. Now we come to metaphase 1. The bivalent chromosomes align on the equatorial plate. Okay, the bivalent chromosome meaning the homologous, the pair of homologous chromosomes Okay, so the bivalent chromosome, they align at the equator plate. Then the microtubules from the opposite poles of the spindle attach to the kinetic cores of the homologous chromosomes. Okay, so in a pair of homologous chromosomes, of course, they are like two chromosomes. So therefore, they are two metaphasic plates. Okay, pulling each of the homologous chromosomes at the opposite ends. Okay. If you look at the diagram, you understand, but the things to remember are the bivalent chromosomes align at the center and the microtubules from the opposite ends, they attach to the kinetic cores of the homologous chromosomes. Okay, one homologous chromosome from the pair. Okay, so there are two metaphasic plates. Then the homologous chromosomes, they separate. Homologous chromosomes, it's their chance to separate. And sister chromatids, they do not separate. Okay, that's actually in the anaphase. In the metaphase, it's only like they get arranged on the two metaphasic plates, like one of the homologous chromosome from the pair, one of the chromosome from the pair of homologous chromosome on each of the metaphasic plates. That's why there are two. Okay, because there's a pair of homologous chromosomes. Therefore, there are two metaphasic plates. Okay, now in metaphase also, the spindle fibers, as the microtubules from the opposite poles of the spindle, they attach to the homologous chromosome. Okay, anaphase 1, the homologous chromosomes separate while sister chromatids, they remain associated at the centromere. Okay, of course, like the homologous chromosome, the pair of homologous chromosome, it separates, and the sister chromatids, they remain together. You'll know from the diagram. Then we come to telophase 1. The nuclear membrane and the nucleolus, they reappear. Cytokinesis follows, and this is called as a diode of cell. Okay, diode of cell meaning there are two cells. Okay, that's it, not much. Cytokinesis, division of cytoplasm. Although in many cases the chromosomes do undergo some dispersion, they do not reach the extreme extended state of the interphase nucleus. Okay, meaning they decondense a bit, but they don't totally decondense. Okay, they don't reach the interphase nucleus stage, like the chromatin material kind of stage. The stage between the two meiotic divisions is called interkinesis. Now, you want to remember that phases are like that, okay? Interphase, then M phase, all that. And here, you want to remember interkinesis between meiosis 1 and meiosis 2 through the stages of karyokinesis, then interkinesis, cytokinesis, it's that kind of a stage. Okay, so over here there's like karyokinesis, there's cytokinesis, and then there's an interkinesis stage, there's a between, and it is generally short-lived. There's no replication of DNA during interkinesis. Okay, no replication of DNA, that's an important point to remember. Interphase, there is replication of DNA. Interkinesis, there's no replication of DNA. I mean specifically to say S phase of interphase, okay? There is DNA replication, but not at interkinesis. Interkinesis is followed by prophase 2, a much simpler prophase than prophase 1. Okay, now we come to meiosis 2, which is similar to mitosis, okay? Now remember that homologous chromosomes are earlier there, then there's meiosis 1, then there's cytokinesis, then there's interkinesis, and there's meiosis 2, when sister chromatids is separate, okay? Remember that. I don't know why I have drawn this on the side, like a flowchart or something. Then, prophase 2, meiosis 2 is initiated immediately after cytokinesis, usually before the chromosomes have fully elongated. I told you, okay? They don't reach the elongated stage. Now, in contrast to meiosis 1, meiosis 2 resembles a normal mitosis. Okay, so in contrast to meiosis 1, meiosis 2 resembles a normal mitosis. The nuclear membrane disappears by the end of prophase 1. Okay, and then the chromosomes, they again become compact. Okay, they are decondensed a bit, but they get back to the compacted state, then metaphase 2. At this stage, the chromosomes align at the equator and the microtubules from the opposite poles of the spindle get attached to the kinetochores of the sister chromatids. Okay, now as I told, each chromatid has a kinetochore. So sister chromatid is like one of the chromatids, so it will have a kinetochore. Okay, so the spindle fibers, they attach to both the kinetochores. Okay, so it's just like the spindle fiber gets attached to the kinetochores of the chromatids, because there are two chromatids and each chromatid has a kinetochore. Okay, now remember that there's just one metaphasic plate here, and second thing to notice is the kinetochores get attached to the sister chromatids, and in metaphase 1 it would get attached to the kinetochore of the homologous chromosome. Okay, and next we come to anaphase 2. It begins with the simultaneous splitting of the centromere of each chromosome, which was holding the sister chromatids together, allowing them to move towards opposite poles of the cell by shortening of the microtubules attached to the kinetochores. Now comparing it with anaphase 1, in anaphase 1 the homologous pair of chromosome, they separate, like there's a pair and they separate, the entire chromosome with two chromatids, it separates. Okay, I mean the entire chromosome, it moves to one end. Okay, so the homologous chromosome pair, it gets separated, meaning one at the first pole and the other at the second pole. But now in anaphase 2, the one chromosome that has two chromatids, sister chromatids, the sister chromatids only separate from the centromere. So here there's a splitting of the centromere, there wasn't a splitting of the centromere. And here the sister chromatids separate, there the homologous pair of chromosomes separate. Okay, and this happens simultaneously and by the shortening of the microtubules attached to the kinetochores. Now we come to telophase 2. Meiosis ends with the telophase 2, in which the two groups of chromosomes, they once again get enclosed by a nuclear envelope. Now the two groups of chromosomes are what? Chromosomes of the daughter cell. Okay, they get enclosed by a nuclear envelope. Now since division has taken place twice and DNA replication has taken place only once, it'll have half the amount of DNA. Okay, and now so two groups of chromosomes, they once again get enclosed by a nuclear envelope, then cytokinesis follows, resulting in the formation of tetrad of cell, meaning four cells. Okay, meaning four haploid daughter cells. Okay, and so we come to an end of the meiosis phase. Now coming to the significance of meiosis. So first thing is, meiosis is the mechanism by which conservation of specific chromosome number of each species is achieved across generations in sexually reproducing organisms, meaning the same amount of chromosome number is maintained. Okay, because there's a reduction, then there's a fusion, reduction, fusion, reduction, fusion. Okay, and sexually reproducing. So here the first thing is, meiosis is the mechanism by which conservation of specific chromosome number of each species as achieved across generations in sexually reproducing organisms, meaning there's a reduction, then there's fertilization, that is fusion, then there's reduction, fusion. So the same chromosome number is maintained, even though the process per se paradoxically results in reduction of chromosome number by half. Okay, even though it reduces the chromosome number by half, it maintains the specific chromosome number of sexually reproducing organisms. It also increases the genetic variability in the population of organisms from one generation to the next because of recombination, that is crossing over and all that stuff. And variation are very important for the process of evolution. And so meiosis also helps in evolution. And it, of course, it maintains the poloidy level of all the species. Summary, according to cell theory, cells arise from pre-existing cells. The process by which this occurs is called cell division. Any sexually reproducing organism starts its life cycle from a single cell zygote. Cell division does not stop with the formation of the mature organism, but continues throughout its life cycle. The stages through which a cell passes from one division to the next is called the cell cycle. Cell cycle is divided into two phases called the interphase, a period of preparation for cell division, and mitosis, that is M phase, the actual period of cell division. Interphase is further subdivided into G1, S and G2 phases. G1 phase is the period when the cell grows and carries out normal metabolism. Most of the organelle duplication also occurs during this phase. S phase marks the phase of DNA replication and chromosome duplication. G2 phase is the period of cytoplasmic growth. Mitosis is also divided into four stages, namely prophase, metaphase, anaphase, and telophase. Chromosomes condense during prophase. Simultaneously, the centrioles move to the opposite poles. The nuclear envelope and the nucleolus disappear and the spindle fibers start appearing. Metaphase is marked by the alignment of chromosomes at the equatorial plate. During anaphase, the centromere divide and the chromatids start moving towards the two opposite poles. Once the chromatids reach the two poles, the chromosomal elongation starts. Nucleolus and the nuclear membrane reappear. This stage is called the telophase. Nuclear division is then followed by the cytoplasmic division and is called cytokinesis. Mitosis thus is equational division in which the chromosome number of the parent is conserved in the daughter's cell. So the same number of chromosomes remains. In contrast to mitosis, meiosis occurs in diploid cells which are destined to form gametes. It is called reduction division since it reduces the chromosome number by half while making the gametes. In sexually reproducing organisms, when the two gametes fuse, the chromosome number is restored to the value in the parent. So that's how the parent chromosome number and the child's chromosome number remains the same, meaning the species has a constant, like the same chromosome number. Meiosis is divided into two phases, meiosis 1 and meiosis 2. In the first meiotic division, the homologous chromosomes pair to form bivalents and undergo crossing over, that is recombination. Okay, meiosis 1 has a long prophase which is divided further into 5 phases. These are leptotene, zygotene, pachyten, diplotene and diakinesis. During metaphase 1, the bivalent arrange on the equatorial plate. This is followed by anaphase 1 in which homologous chromosomes move to the opposite poles with both their chromatids. Okay, so they move, the homologous chromosome moves to the opposite pole with both their chromatids. Okay, and in anaphase 2, the chromatids separate, sister chromatids separate. Each pole receives half the chromosome number of the parent cell. In telophase 1, the nuclear membrane and nucleolus reappear. Meiosis 2 is similar to mitosis. During anaphase 2, the sister chromatids separate. Thus, at the end of meiosis, 4 haploid cells are formed. Okay, so during anaphase 2, the sister chromatids separate. And also remember that metaphase 1 has 2 metaphasic plates and metaphase 2 has 1 metaphasic plate. Thus, at the end of meiosis, 4 haploid cells are formed. And also remember that this is 1 DNA replication, but there are 2, like, division. This, nuclear divisions. Okay, done. Thank you.